Morning, church. Okay, so we're going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 36 to 49. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them,
"Peace be with you."
They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them,
"Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have."
When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them,
"Do you have anything here to eat?"
They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it with in their presence. He said to them,
"This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms."
Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them,
"This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
Thank you.
Wonderful. This Easter Sunday, we're focusing on the resurrection. I'm jumping ahead in my series in Luke. Jesus is for everyone, to these verses in Luke 24 with the title, "Jesus is Alive." And you know, most of us will know the Easter story really well. In fact, most of us will know it so well that it's become very familiar to us. It's almost normal, isn't it? It becomes almost normal. But I want to remind you that there is nothing normal about this story. It is totally extraordinary. What Jesus says and does immediately after his resurrection is totally extraordinary. I want you to put yourselves for a moment in Jesus' shoes, or probably more accurately, Jesus' sandals, if he wore them. So just put yourself in Jesus' sandals this morning and imagine that you were Jesus. Imagine that you had been arrested on trumped-up charges, you had been beaten up, you had faced the mockery of a trial. You have been deserted by your friends, you have been jeered at, you have been abused, you have been insulted, you have been spat at, you have been whipped, you have been tortured, you had had nails driven through your hands and feet, and you have been horribly and slowly murdered. Imagine how that would feel. Exposed, naked, dying on a cross. If you then came back from the dead, full of resurrection power and might, what would you do? If you're honest, you wouldn't do what Jesus did. If I was Jesus, if you were Jesus, I think it would be more, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, folks." This is my opportunity, you know, resurrection power. I've come back to life. You know, Caiaphas, the high priest who got me arrested, put me on a false trial, charge and trial. You know, he might just get a visit through his bedroom wall. And, you know, he would be regretting his actions and decisions for the rest of his life if he had any life left after I'd appeared through his bedroom wall. You know, the soldiers who had spat at me and tortured me and mocked me, you know, they might just get beaten up themselves, mightn't they? You know, and Pilate, who turned his back on justice, you know, he would have, you know, regretted the rest of his life that he hadn't listened to his wife. Which some of us do anyway. And the disciples, you know, the disciples who have fallen asleep, who had denied me, who had deserted or run away, who would, you know, would be rejected, never to be trusted to be friends again because they had let Jesus down so badly. You would expect the freshly risen Almighty Jesus to be power exploding everywhere, wouldn't you? A bit like the films, you know, with the genie and the lamp and all the rest of it. You would expect him to be power exploding everywhere. Justice and righteousness against his enemies right at this time. Fireworks, drama, a violent purging of enemies and traitors. But there is none of that in this story. That is totally extraordinary. That's totally miraculous. What do we find? The risen, victorious, all-powerful Jesus, Son of God, doing and saying immediately after his resurrection. We find him acting in gentleness. We find him acting in compassion. We find him acting in forgiveness. We find him acting in love. He's just been hanging on the cross. His back has been whipped to a pulp. And yet we find Jesus mistaken for a gardener, gently talking to a distraught Mary. That is powerful, isn't it? We find Jesus taking time to stroll down a road with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, who are so depressed and disillusioned, they can't even stay in Jerusalem despite hearing the rumors from the ladies that Jesus has risen. They're off back home. No hope. You know, all that we're trusted in is all gone. It's all gone wrong. It's all gone wrong. And we find Jesus coming alongside. This risen, victorious, all-powerful Jesus walking down the road to Emmaus with two depressed and disillusioned disciples who are walking away from him rather than towards him. What else do we find? We find him eating boiled fish and offering peace to his disciples who had run away in fear and were in hiding. We find him cooking breakfast by the lake. No, he couldn't even get the caterers in. Did it himself. Cooking breakfast by the lake. And forgiving Peter, who had denied him with curses. Recommissioning Peter to be the leader of his new movement, which is called the church, which we are part of today. You see, the resurrection is all about victory and power, but it's victory and power expressed through amazing, miraculous love, forgiveness, compassion, and gentleness. It's not how you and I would respond if we'd just been hanging on the cross, if we'd been the victims of a terrible miscarriage of justice, if we'd suffered terribly at the hands of bullies and violent people. But you know how Jesus reacted is wonderful good news for you. And it's wonderful good news for me. Because it means that when we mess up as a Christian, oh yes, we do mess up, don't we? If you're denying it, we say we're without sin, the truth is not in us. It means that when we mess up as a Christian, when we are full of fear, oh, I never fear anything. That's what we like other people to think. But the fears are there, aren't they? When we are full of fear, when we have denied and doubted Jesus, me doubt Jesus? or when the rubber hits the road, doubts come, don't they? When we desert our faith, when we go through these situations, Jesus doesn't beat us up. He doesn't treat us with vengeance and wrath. Jesus has all power, he has all authority, but he chooses to use his resurrection power in love, in forgiveness, and in compassion. Praise God. Praise God. Otherwise, we'd all be toast. He restores his followers who have messed up and let him down. Have you messed up as a Christian? Have you been struggling with some big sin and failure in your life, and you think, well, am I really a Christian at all? Have you been running away from Jesus because you're scared of the claims of Jesus on your life? Are you feeling like those disciples in Luke 24, confused, depressed, and discouraged? Well, this Easter, Jesus invites you to encounter the risen Jesus, to experience resurrection life, to experience renewal and restoration, to experience forgiveness, to experience new life, to experience a new beginning, a new empowering. And you know, this Easter Sunday, Jesus invites us, to come to him and to experience his amazing grace, his amazing mercy, that he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Praise God. Praise God. In these verses in Luke 24, 36 to 49, the disciples are locked in the upper room. They are in fear. They fear that the next knock on the door will be the soldiers coming to arrest them and crucify them like Jesus, their leader, has been crucified. They are full of grief. They had thought that Jesus was the real Messiah. They'd given up years of their life to follow him. That's what they'd done. Praise God. You know, they'd left their fishing nets. They'd left their tax collecting booths and everything else. And they followed this man who they believe was the Messiah for 3 years. And now it's all gone completely wrong. It wasn't supposed to end like this. Jesus wasn't supposed to die. He certainly wasn't expected to die a criminal's death on the cross. They loved Jesus. They worshipped the ground he walked on, and yet they had let him down. They must have been thinking in that upper room, if only. Are you an if only person? Most of us are. If only I hadn't said that. If only I hadn't done that. If only the circumstances had been different, you know, then I could change what happened and the disaster that's happened. And they must have been thinking, if only they had stopped Judas betraying him. You know, he was one of the 12. He was staring them in the face. Now surely, you know, duh. You know, he got his money, his hand in the pocket, the purse the whole time. You know, he was taking money. You know, why hadn't they realized that Judas was a traitor? Why hadn't they stopped him from betraying Jesus? You know, if only, they must have been sitting there, if only we had stayed awake in Gethsemane. You know, if only, you know, Jesus said, you know, can't you stay awake? And then, you know, the trouble is they'd had the full Passover meal. They'd had a wonderful feast of roast lamb. They'd had several glasses of wine, you know, because there's the cup which they drink at various stages through the Passover. They go off to Gethsemane. It's probably a hot, sultry night. And they just can't stay awake. And now they're locked in that room. And they think, if only we'd stayed awake, we could have seen the soldiers coming. We could have stopped him being arrested. No, we could have done something. We could have got our swords out and done a little bit more than cut off the high priest's servant's ear. Well, that's how sleepy Peter was. He couldn't even use the sword properly, you know. He was a fisherman. He was a tough man. All he manages to do is cut off the high priest's servant's ear, and then Jesus goes and heals it, put it back on again. So if only they stayed away. If only they had stayed and fought rather than running away. So it's all gone horribly wrong for the disciples. They're confused. They're frightened. Then we read in verse 36, Jesus himself stood among them. That is powerful. Jesus didn't send an angel to tell them off for not having enough faith. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that incredible? He didn't shout in a loud voice from heaven, I'm alive! I'm alive! It's all right! You don't need to be locked in that house, any, that house room anymore. I'm alive! Look up in the sky. He didn't do that, did he? Jesus himself came and appeared in the room right with them. That is beautiful. He didn't stand at a distance. He stood among them. That is Emmanuel, God with us. We can know the risen Lord Jesus Christ through his Spirit with us in each and every situation in our lives. Praise God. That is a wonderful message of Easter. God does not shout at us from heaven. He's not sitting up in some sort of cloud that we sometimes get the idea, an old man in a cloud with his arms folded, with a really cross look on his face because of all the things we've done wrong, ready to knock us over the head, beat us up because of what we've done. His arms are open wide. He comes to us where we are, and he says, you can come to me. You can know that comfort. You can know that love. You can know that forgiveness of God in your hearts and minds. In all our failures and fears, Jesus does not shout at us from a distance. He doesn't criticize and condemn you. He comes and stands with us. The risen Jesus stands with us in the traumas, in the doubts and the despairs of our lives. Praise God. That's why the gospel is good news to those who are struggling with traumas and doubts and despairs. And what does Jesus say to them? Peace be with you. Now get out of your heads for a moment the sickly, sweet peace, love, joy. How lovely. It's not that. This is a powerful peace. The disciples had let Jesus down. They failed. They've fallen asleep instead of praying. They've run away. They've misunderstood so much of what Jesus has said. They expected Jesus to reject them and condemn them. What does Jesus say to them? Peace be with you. Jesus is offering them a peace treaty. He is offering them forgiveness. He's offering them comfort. He's offering them reassurance. And this risen Lord Jesus Christ offers you peace this Sunday, Easter Sunday. Sorry, I'm getting so excited I'll probably kick the light. Jesus is still the light of the world, even if that light isn't. That is a powerful peace. A powerful peace. Jesus, this Resurrection Sunday morning, does not condemn you for your sin. He offers you peace with God. The peace with God that Jesus bought for you, for you, for you, with his blood poured out on the cross. His sacrificial sacrifice for your sin on the cross. The divine exchange. The Bible tells us we are enemies of God because of our sin and rebellion. But this Easter Sunday, Jesus offers you a peace treaty with God himself. A peace treaty that is signed by his blood shed on the cross for our sins. And the question is, have you ever accepted that peace treaty, or have you rejected it? If you accept the peace treaty Jesus offers, you will no longer be an enemy of God. because he has declared peace. You will experience eternal peace with God in heaven. That's something to get excited about, folks. That is something to really get excited about, of what God has done for us through sending the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see in verse 39 another wonderful invitation. Wonderful invitation from the resurrected Jesus to these confused disciples. He says, "Touch me and see." Jesus invites the disciples to reach out to him, to touch him, to see he is real, to discover that he really is alive. You see, they thought he might just be a ghost, because he didn't come through the door, did he? It was locked for fear of the Jews. So, you know, when you're going through trauma, it's easy to think, am I hallucinating? Am I imagining things? Is this really real? Is this just a ghost? You know, well, I'll tell you, generally big burly fishermen don't normally hallucinate. But they still needed to know, didn't they? They were doubting. They were struggling to understand the evidence in front of them. And I want to say to you, it's okay to have doubts. Some Christians sort of say, we mustn't talk about doubts. It's okay to have doubts. It's okay to have doubts. Because it's important that your faith is real, that it's rational, and that it's sensible. It's okay to struggle with our faith and our beliefs, but Jesus doesn't want us to stay in doubt. As they reached out and touched Jesus, they saw, they believed, they were transformed. You know, if you've been there in that upper room, no wonder most of those disciples themselves ended up facing terrible death, martyred for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they knew that they reached out and they touched the body of Jesus Christ. They touched his wounds. They knew because they'd experienced the reality of Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't want us to stay in doubt. And as they reached out and touched Jesus, they saw, they believed, they were transformed. They were transformed from fearful men and women full of doubt and guilt into disciples who were full of faith. And full of joy. Disciples who just a few days later were burst out of that upper room to fearlessly and boldly proclaim the message of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Praise God. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit in the Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, these same group of people who were scared stiff suddenly burst out of that room and begin to preach and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what it is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to have a real experience of Jesus that transforms our lives and then impels us to go and share that message with others. And so this resurrection morning, Jesus invites us to reach out to him, to touch him and see that Jesus is real, that he really is alive. And some of us here today, we need a fresh encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? It may be a while, maybe you've wandered. You've wandered away from him. But this morning, you need a fresh encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You need that to dispel your doubt, your fears, your guilt. And you know, Jesus wants to transform us into disciples who are full of faith, full of joy, full of the Holy Spirit, full of boldness to go and proclaim Jesus to a lost and dying world. But Jesus doesn't want us just to have an amazing experience of him. He also wants us to understand him better, to understand his word, to understand his plan and purpose for our lives, our church, and our world. So in verse 45, we discover that Jesus opened their minds so they could understand. What an education these disciples received from the resurrected Jesus. In four short verses, Jesus told them that their Christian lives and churches were to be Christ-centered, with the cross and the resurrection at the heart of everything. And that's something that's key to this church. Secondly, they were to be evangelistic. The repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be preached in Jesus' name to all nations. Amen? So there's a mission to be fulfilled. Because you've encountered Jesus, there is something to do, folks. There's a message to proclaim. Repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be preached in Jesus' name for all nations. In verse 48, they were to have a personal relationship and experience of Jesus. Verse 49, they were to be baptized and filled and clothed with the Holy Spirit. They were going to be clothed with power from on high. This is looking forward to Pentecost. They were not going to have to struggle on as Christians in their own strength. They were going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus never asks you to struggle on as a Christian in your own strength. If you try and do that, you will fail. He asks us to come to Him. He asks us to be filled. In fact, He commands us to be filled, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when we're filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit, we will have the strength to live as Christians. And we need the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it on your own. And this Easter, Jesus wants your life to be Christ-centered, Jesus at the center. He wants your mission to be evangelistic. He wants you to have a personal relationship with Him, to experience Him, not just to have head knowledge of Him, but to experience Him. And then to be clothed with power from on high, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so as I finish in summary, as we celebrate this resurrection Easter Sunday, let's be amazed that the all-powerful resurrected Jesus reveals Himself to you and to me. Let's accept the peace treaty that Jesus offers us, a peace treaty signed in His blood. Let us respond to His invitation to touch Him and see for ourselves. Let us have our minds opened by the risen Lord Jesus Christ and our spirits clothed with power from on high by the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's pray. I'm going to ask Franco and the worship team to come forward. We're going to continue just celebrating the resurrection as we finish with probably a couple of songs or whatever. But let's pray first of all. Father God, Lord, we want to thank and we praise You that we do not worship a God who is dead, but we worship the living Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to come to You today. Help us to know Your resurrection power at work in our lives. Lord, forgive us where we need forgiveness. Lord, fill us with Your Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray. We may be empowered to worship, praise, and serve You. Lord, help us to reach out today to touch Jesus and see that He is real. Lord, we ask that, Lord, You would, through Your Holy Spirit, would open up our minds so that we can understand the truth of who You are and clothe us with power from on high, Lord. Lord, move amongst us. Lord, we thank You for Your amazing mercy and grace extended to each one of us as sinners. Lord, may each one of us experience and know the truth of that amazing grace that the resurrected, living Lord Jesus Christ does not treat us as our sins deserve, but pours out His mercy, His grace, and His forgiveness into our lives. Lord, we thank You. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we worship You together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.